marriage, hauntings, murder. We've got it all. A husband and wife talking about all things real, scary, and truthful. Welcome to our podcast. What up, everybody?
Howdy.
Oh, boy. Here we go. He's apparent. Last week he was Mr. Movie Phone. Today I guess he's a cowboy.
I ain't a cowboy.
Huh?
I ain't a cowboy.
Said like a true cowboy. I ain't no cowboy.
I don't even sound like a...
That's supposed to be me spitting. Oh, God. COVID.
Are you spitting?
Yeah.
Why are you spitting?
Because I'm a cowboy.
Cowboy spit?
Yeah. Don't they? You're a cowboy.
No, I ain't.
Cowboy. That's you?
No, it's not.
Mr. Riding horses and...
You ever seen me ride a horse?
Chewing tobacco.
No. I do like to chew tobacco.
I don't know that I've watched anyone ride a horse.
Man, what a life you've lived.
Why would you just want to watch someone ride a horse?
I mean, ride horses with somebody that's also riding horses.
Well, I said watch. And you said, that's what you said. You ever watch me ride a horse? No, I haven't.
No, I said, have you ever seen me ride a horse? Okay. Not watch. Oh, you're a creep.
Still haven't. I've never seen it. No, I haven't. So, Eric's a cowboy. Moving on. If you recall, God, what, a year ago probably, the fifth Blackwell ghost movie came out, and today, Friday, March 20th, the sixth one has been released, and we are freaking excited about it. I literally sent it to Eric and was like, oh my God, look what's out, and I can't remember what you said, but you were like, oh hell yeah.
There was five of them.
But at first you said, oh hell yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm ready to watch it right now. Let's do this.
Sorry, no true crime today. We have to watch a movie. No. But, like, people on my TikTok page, they've already watched it. And they're like, yeah, we've already watched it. I'm like, damn. I want to watch it.
And well, I'm trying to watch it.
And we will. We have to talk to our people about crime. Or ghosts, depending on what we're doing that day.
We did a ghost last time.
I know. I was there. What do you think we're doing today?
Well, I would assume a murder.
Or
not.
Oh, we're doing a crime. A crime. I can't roll my eyes.
Animal cruelty crime?
No. We would not. Why would we talk about that?
Because it just happened.
Yeah, in our town. This douchebag loser... I don't know who he is, but even when I do find out who he is, he's still going to be a douchebag loser. At the golf course, there's just like a bunch of squirrels.
They're awesome.
Yeah, and like they'll come up and ride in the cart with you, and they'll eat little peanuts with you. They're like pet squirrels.
Well trained.
Yeah, on a golf course. And this guy was luring squirrels. He was golfing, luring squirrels, and then hitting them with his golf club. Yeah, so he's a fucking loser, if he's listening. I think you're a loser.
Yeah, I'd like to see you in a dark alley, pal.
We'd like to see you on the golf course.
We love those squirrels out there.
Yeah, they've literally been doing that for, like, ever. Like, I remember being a kid. Yeah, so he's a fucking loser. Apparently, like, the cops are looking for him. What'd you say? Conservation
department.
Yeah. Because it's a felony, right?
Animal cruelty.
Yeah. So, I hope they find you. If we don't find you first.
Well, they'll find him because, I mean, it had to be a buddy that put the video on the internet. So.
Why would you put a video of your friend doing that on the internet? I think somebody saw him doing it and recorded him. That way they had proof, but they didn't know who it was. Yeah. I would have went up to him and been like, what the fuck are you doing? You loser. Who are you?
I mean, it's squirrel season hasn't started yet. It's a couple weeks away, but if you're going to eat it, that's fine. But
don't go to a public
to the golf course
and hit squirrels. That's insane.
I mean, if you're gonna eat it, also don't beat it with a putter, shoot it like any normal hunter would do.
People are the worst. Yeah, somebody sent me that, and then I showed Eric, and then like so many other people were like, "Did you see this? Did you see this? Did you see this?" So that's been wonderful to see.
I golf there, sir. I feed the squirrels.
Yeah, those squirrels are our friends. I feed the squirrels at our house. Now they're never going to want to come back. They heard about their poor friend. So yeah, I hope we'll keep you updated on if they find the guy since we're talking about it now. But
well, it ain't a big town, so.
Surely they will. And hopefully, the only time I would want to be on jury duty, I'd be like, he's fucking guilty.
Yeah.
And well, put him.
There's a video of it, so.
Death penalty. You're welcome.
I don't know about death penalty, but I'm going to give you a couple whacks.
Let's beat him. Yeah, let's beat him with a golf club and see how he likes it. That's what you should do. Like, whatever you did to people, they should do to you.
Yeah, for sure.
Or animals. And then I'll just beat you with a golf club. Yeah, so that's what's happening in our town. Nothing cool. Fucking animal cruelty. Nothing
cool ever happens here. An asshole preacher.
We made it to people, though.
Barstool Sports, too.
Yeah. I mean, what can you do, man? Welcome to the Midwest.
Yeah.
Welcome. Where, shit's... You never know.
It's just different.
It's just different. So, yeah. I think that's all I know. Nothing really new has happened.
Nope.
So, I think that's all we got. I guess we're just going to have to get into the crime. Unless you have anything else you want to talk about.
I got nothing. I'm trying to watch a movie.
Oh, my God. And we haven't finished the last episode of The Circle either.
My God, there's more of that?
One more.
Well, this has been a fun podcast. Time for some shout-out.
We have TV to watch. No. Yeah, we'll get into the crime. Okay, so today we are talking about someone called the Candyman, but not like a good kind of Candyman.
Like the movie?
Like, I don't. Well, how did he came out of the mirror in the movie?
Yeah, I think so.
And there's something about bees, but this isn't that. So
Candyman.
See, I was thinking Willy Wonka, the Candyman. That's what I was thinking when I heard of it.
You can take a sunrise.
But he's neither one of those things. Considering we are talking about him on the podcast. So, he's a serial killer.
Of course.
The Candyman. His name is...
I can't get the answer to that on Apple Watch.
Oh my God.
Cool.
Why is she talking to me? Anyway, he's a serial killer. He was a homosexual rapist, and he also mutilated his victims.
Yikes.
So this one is aggressive. And his favorite form of murder was strangulation or shooting. So like two different things there.
Fast and slow.
Strangulation is more personal, right? Because you're watching the life leave their eyes.
Like, do it from behind, I guess.
Somebody, yeah. But, like, somebody, normally when they strangle somebody, it's, like, a personal thing. And Benny, apparently already disgusting Benny because he's choking. He's like, we've had enough. That's what I think. Like, normally when you strangle someone, it's, like, more personal. Right?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah. So, anyway, the Candyman. That's who we're talking about today. His name was Dean Corll, Corll. So Corll. It makes me feel like I'm talking about Carl on The Walking Dead. Corll.
He doesn't say it like that. I don't know why people say that. He says Corll.
But it's the meme from the season 3. Corll. That's what it makes me think of.
Well, his wife had just died.
Well, okay. Nobody liked Lori anyway.
No.
So I guess except for Rick. Anyway.
Did he?
We're not. Yeah, did he? Dean Corll. He, like I said, was a mess He was born on Christmas Eve in Fort Wayne, Indiana on December 24th, 1939. He was the first child. His mother's name was Mary and his dad's name was Arnold. And his middle name was Arnold to match his father.
Cool.
So, cool. His dad was strict with his children. And his mother was, like, protective of her sons. And the parents fought a lot because of their difference in parental skills, I guess. And they ended up divorcing in 1946, 4 years after the birth of their younger son, Stanley. So, Mary moved and relocated to Memphis, Tennessee. So, close to us. Didn't know that. What, 2 hours away?
Yep, 2 hours south.
Yeah. She relocated to a trailer home, and his father, Arnold, was drafted into the Air Force. So, they obviously went with their mom. Or he was like, come to the Air Force with me. You're fine. Stanley, you're only four. That's fine. You can join there.
Some good.
Stanley's not the killer.
Well, it doesn't say there's some good anyhow.
Right. He's like, you know what? All of you probably need this just in case you're going to grow up to kill people. Dean was a shy child, but he was also a very serious child. He didn't socialize with other kids, but he was like concerned about others. Like, he didn't socialize with people, but he was worried about them. So I don't know how you get both of those things. Like, I'm worried about you, but from over here.
Yeah.
Don't come tell me your problems, but I hope you're okay. That's what I'm going to start telling people. I'm worried about you, but I don't need to know. I just know that I'm worried about you.
Yeah, I care.
I care, but at a distance.
Long distance care.
Long distance. At the age of 7, Dean suffered an undiagnosed case of rheumatic fever, and they didn't know this until 1950 when they found a heart murmur, and then they were like, oh, so then he couldn't, like, go to PE at school because his heart was crazy. So that means, like, do you know what rheumatic fever is?
Not a clue.
It's like a disease,
like
that
dancing fever.
No, it is not the dancing disease. Like, it can mess with your heart, joints, brain, skin, everything. It's like you get like a throat infection. I think you get strep throat. Yeah, strep throat, and then it can like go everywhere. So You don't want that. His parents tried to reconcile after their divorce, and they eventually remarried in 1950. And then they moved to Texas. So
it's the first time I ever heard anyone pronounce that reconcile.
What?
Or reconcile.
What did I say? Reconciled?
Yeah.
They wanted to reconcile? Reconcile?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm sure you can say it either way.
Reconciliation? Reconciliation?
Reconciliation?
I don't know.
You reckon?
They got back together and got married.
Yeah.
And they moved to Pasadena, Texas. but it didn't last very long because they divorced in 1953. So the mother also got custody of the sons again. So they should have just stayed apart.
What a ride.
Right. They're like, we're up, we're down. Are you married? Are you not? Do you like each other or no? So after their second divorce, their mom, Mary, married a traveling clock salesman named Jake.
What a job.
Back in the day, they did that shit. They would sell fucking Tupperware, clocks,
vacuums.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. And then they moved to a small town where his half-sister was born, named Joyce. And they lived in Vidor, Texas, I'm assuming is how that's pronounced. And his mom and stepdad started a small family candy company. Hmm. So, the candy man. him and his brother ran the candy making machines and packed the product. And then his stepfather sold some on his clock sales route too. So he's like, do you want a clock and some candy?
Time for some candy.
It's candy. What if, like, on the on the clock, it was like there was a marker that was like, it's candy time.
The tickers were little lollipops.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be funny. I just thought of our new business venture. Nobody stole that.
I'm good.
TM. So he graduated from high school, and then they moved to the outskirts. So I guess they're just moving all over Houston, basically. They're like, do you want to go over here on this side? Okay, now let's go over on this side. Where do you want to be? But they moved to where the majority of their product was sold. So I guess, like, one side of Houston wasn't a big candy seller, so they went to the other side. And but Dean ended up having to move to Indiana to live with his widowed grandmother. And of course, he formed a close relationship with a local girl, because that's how it always starts. And he rejected a marriage proposal she gave him. She proposed to him in 1962.
Progressive.
What if I were to propose to you?
I'm like, nah, bruh.
That's very mean. You would have said no?
No, I probably would have said yeah.
Probably.
I'd win.
I like that it's not like a yes.
I'd be like, yeah, but I have to ask you, so.
Why?
I'd be like, did you ask my mom?
Did you call my mom and get permission? How rude.
Well, if that shouldn't be that be the case, men are supposed to talk to the fathers of the.
But how many people do you think actually do that?
I did.
Okay.
I'd say more people than you think.
Maybe.
I don't think it's a lost tradition.
A lost tradition.
I think most men do that still. I don't know. You should have. Did you talk to my mom?
No, I didn't. Because I didn't propose to you.
Then no.
Then no. What if I would have talked to your mom?
Then yes.
Okay. So next time I propose to you, I'll...
There won't be no next time.
Anyway, so she proposed to him. He said no. And then he moved back to Houston to help with the candy business. And they had moved to Houston Heights at this point. So this candy business is just all over the place. And then eventually he moved into an apartment above the shop. So he was just like around, all around candy all the time.
All around the clock.
All around the clock. But don't get too stuck on the clock, because Mary and Jake divorced in 1963.
She just can't find a good man.
She can't. She can't. She can't do it. And they opened a new candy business, which was Coral Candy Company.
Just give up on the candy.
Well, they like the candy. They just don't like the husbands. So keep the candy. Ditch the men is what we were going here. So,
amen, sister.
Amen, sister. Ditch the men and keep the candy. So Stanley was the secretary and treasurer of the candy business, and Dean was the vice president of the candy business. So, cool. That's a cool job. I'd sell candy. I'm
the vice president of candy.
Of candy. Of the Coral Candy Company. So the same year, 1963, when they opened up their Coral Candy Company, one of the teenage employees complained to Mary that her son made sexual advances towards him. And you know what she did?
She denied it.
She fired the teenager that said that. She was like, that didn't happen. You're fired. So, just sticking up for her son, I guess.
Well,
huh?
Well, that's what mother's supposed to do.
I guess. So, the next year, Dean was drafted into the Army and assigned in Fort Polk, Louisiana for basic training, and then went to Fort Benning, Georgia to train as a radio repairman before he was moved to Fort Hood, Texas. So basically, he just is never going to leave Texas, is what it seems like. Like, you went to Louisiana, Georgia, and now you're back. He apparently hated being in the military and tried to get discharged on the ground that he was needed in his family business. And they approved his request after just 10 months in the service and let him go back and work for the candy company.
Weird.
Yeah, I didn't know you could do that.
Unless I need him that bad, why they even draft him in the first place?
Well, I guess he was just radio repairman. There's probably not, like, a big need for that.
Well, yeah, there is. That's all he uses, radios.
Well, I'm sure I'm sure he was more than one of those.
I know he wasn't the radio repairman of the military.
Yeah, so I'm saying they were probably like, whatever. Nerd. So after he was released from the military, he realized that he was gay and had experienced his first homosexual encounter, and they could tell, like, as he was, like, figuring out that he was gay, that, like, some of his mannerisms changed, and so they were like, well, maybe he is gay. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think he's gay? I think he's gay.
Did that mom call that kid she fired and apologize?
Well, she didn't know fully at the time, I guess. Well, she definitely didn't know then. So, he probably never got an apology.
Poor kid.
It's probably just ruining his life that he never...
Yep. He's probably glad he got fired because he didn't get killed.
Yeah, no shit. He's like, bye.
That's the bullet there.
Yeah. At the time, I needed money and a job. But now, hindsight is 2020, and I am glad to be out of there.
Alive and unraped.
Yeah. So, he obviously went back to being the vice president of the Coral Candy Company. And, he was just chilling, I guess, for a while. In 1965, they reloaded. They reloaded their candy and moved across the street. They relocated to across the street from the elementary school, and Dean would give free candy to local children, in particular, teenage boys.
Shocker.
Dun dun. And that is how he earned the nicknames the Candy Man and the Pied Piper.
Pervert.
Why the Pied Piper?
He lured the children out of a town, killed them.
He did?
Yeah. You don't know the story of
the
Pied Piper?
Why are you so annoyed with the Pied Piper?
How have you never heard of that?
I mean, I just don't remember it. Piper, dressed in multicolored clothing, who was a rat catcher, hired by the town to lure away rats with his pipe. They didn't pay for his services, so he retaliated by leading the children away. Oh my god.
Yeah.
What a fucking creep. Pied Piper? I don't know why I don't remember that.
How do you not know that?
I mean, I'm sure I've heard it before. But I just don't sit around thinking about the Pied Piper, I guess.
You do as a kid when your dad's always like, the Pied Piper's coming after your ass.
I never gotten threatened with a Pied Piper.
Straighten the hell up.
I never got threatened with the Pied
Piper. Thanks, Dad. I'm fine.
Just,
I got no issues.
Anytime someone brings up the Pied Piper, I run.
I'm completely normal and healthy.
Completely normal. Not scared of the Pied Piper at all.
I'm not scared of him now because I'm an adult and I'll fuck him up.
Give me that magical flute, yo, son of a bitch. Did he really do that?
You just read it, didn't you?
No, I'm saying you're dead. He threatened the Pied Piper. Is that for real?
Not all the time, but...
That is so funny.
Once is enough.
He's like, I'm going to get that MF with that magical flute.
Start doing flute noises.
Yeah.
Shit.
Oh, the Pied Piper's coming.
Yeah, the Pied Piper's coming or an Oompa Loompa. And I don't like either one.
Oh, that's funny. I don't want to be friends with either. So, yeah, he got named the Pied Piper. They said that he was flirtatious towards several of the male employees. And he also installed a pool table at the rear of the candy factory so, like, people would come hang out and congregate. So, candy factory and a pool table. What more could you ask for?
Maybe a soda pop.
To wash the candy down?
Yep.
So, in 1967, Dean made a friend.
Shocker, his first friend?
He was 12.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. His name was David Owen Brooks, and he was a sixth grade student and one of the many children that Dean gave candy to. And David was one of his close youthful companions, is what they said.
Youthful companions.
They were friends. They would hang out together at the candy factory. He joined Dean on trips to the beach in South Texas with a lot of other kids that they would go with. And he would give, Dean would give him money when he needed money. And they all thought of Dean as a father figure. But that will change.
Yeah.
Hey guys, what's going on? It's Ashley here, and I'm here to tell you about a recent discovery about how harmful dryer sheets can be. It was brought to my attention by one of my listeners that dryer sheets are full of chemicals, synthetic materials, and animal fats. And you know how much we love these dogs, so that is really hurtful to me. So, there's an all-natural, safe, and organic alternative to dryer sheets. It's handmade hemp dryer balls found on Etsy, which is Etsy.com. If you're not familiar, it's spelled E-T-S-Y, and the shop's name is Green and Experience. Green and Experience. It's all one word, and of course, I'll put the link to their shop and the hemp dryer balls in our description for this episode. If you're not familiar with hemp dryer balls, they're all natural, plant-based, non-toxic, safe, and organic. They're safe to use in your dryer cycle, and these chemicals and toxins found in dryer sheets get infused into your family's clothes and bed sheets, and of course your dog's toys if you wash your dog's toys like we do, and you don't want that. The perfect example of this is when towels get scratchy over time. Also, their dryer balls fight germs. They're antibacterial and hypoallergenic, especially safe for babies, infants, and people with sensitive skin. Enjoy safe and naturally infused dry clothes with these dry hemp balls. Order them today with a limited time promo code for 20% off. Use code HEMPBALL20 from Etsy.com. And of course, we will put the promo code in our description as well. And we hope you enjoy these awesome dryer balls. Okay, so here's where, like, if things bother you, you should probably not listen to the rest of this episode. So, like I said, they began to look at him as a father figure, and I was like, that will soon change, because Dean eventually urged a sexual relationship that gradually developed between him and David, and David, Dean, there's too many D's, would pay David in cash or with gifts to allow him to perform fellatio on him.
Yikes.
So, my God. So, David, he lived with his parents were divorced. His father lived in Houston, and his mother relocated to Beaumont, which is about 85 miles east of Houston. And when he was 15, he dropped out of high school and went to live with his mother. And when he came back to Houston to visit his father, he would also go visit Dean, who allowed him to stay at his apartment if he wanted to. So, where do you think that went?
It went downtown.
Yeah. Basically, David moved back to Houston, and by his own admission, he began using Dean's apartment as his second home. And I guess they were, like, kind of living together.
Hmm.
And he was, what, 15, 16? Isn't that weird?
Yeah, it's weird.
So, then, his parents moved to Colorado, David's did, and the candy company closed in June of 1968. So Dean was obviously upset about this. And Dean took a job as an electrician at a power company where he tested electrical relay systems. And that's where he worked for the rest of his life, was as an at an electric company. So from candy to electrics.
Electrics.
What do you want me to say? Electric?
Electricity.
Electricity. So I guess that they were like boyfriends, kind of. But, ugh, God. No. No, thank you. So then 2 years later was when the murder started in 1970. So I guess he settled in after the candy company and then was like, you know what? I'm going to start killing people. If I can't give them candy, what's the point? Do you think that's what he thought?
Apparently. I don't know what goes on in the mind of a psychopath.
I don't know what goes on in his mind. So he is known to have killed at least 28 people.
Damn.
They were all males aged 13 to 20, and most of them were in their mid-teens. They were all, or most of them were abducted from Houston Heights. And he also, like, when he would abduct them, he would have, like, teenage accomplices help him. And one of them was David, and another one was a man, or guy, named Elmer Wayne Henley. So, I guess him and David were like, ride or die. Because David was like helping him kidnap people.
Well, yeah.
Woo! Several of his victims were friends of his accomplices. So, David and Elmer were, maybe they were like, hey, I don't like Steve because he looked at me funny at the grocery store. So,
you go and snatch him up.
Go fucking get Steve. And he's like, okay. But some people were people that Dean himself had been friends with. So he pretty much knew everybody that he killed. If it wasn't his friend, it was his friend's friends. And if it wasn't, it was some former employees of the candy company. So he kept it close to the vest, basically, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Which is crazy to me. Normally you hear about if they're a serial killer, they're just killing random people.
Yeah.
So I wonder why he kept it like within like a circle of acquaintances at least. To me, that's how you get caught, right?
I don't know. I've never thought about it. How I'd get away with it.
Well, I'm thinking about it now, and that's what I'm thinking. Like, it would, wouldn't it? Wouldn't you think that you would be able to get away with it more if they were strangers? Because what would tie you to that person? You know what I'm saying?
I mean, but if they're all friends or whatever, they wouldn't suspect or wouldn't suspect him.
Yeah, but you would still be in the circle of.
Maybe that's what he liked. A little bit of a rush.
Like the rush, yeah, I guess. So the way he would get the victims is they would normally lure them into one of the two vehicles he owned, and he owned a Ford Econoline van and a Plymouth GT6. But he also had a 1969 Chevrolet Corvette. So, which he purchased that for David in 1971. Damn. You didn't buy me no Corvette?
Bought you a Jeep.
So, suck it.
Yeah.
it was basically like a gift. He's like, I love you. Here's a gift.
Is this the Tiger King?
I guess. Yeah, kind of, yeah. Without the Tiger King didn't murder people. So it's kind of like John Wayne Gacy. They'd come over, he'd give them alcohol and drugs, they'd pass out, he'd trick them into putting handcuffs on, or they would grab them, and then they were stripped naked and tied to either the bed or a torture board that hung on the wall. And then he would sexually assault them, beat them, torture them. And sometimes this would happen for several days, Just leave them hanging on this wall board of torture for days. Continue to beat, assault, torture them. And then eventually he would strangle them or shoot them with a .22 caliber pistol.
He's got some real issues.
And then their bodies were tied in plastic sheeting and buried either in a rented boat shed at the beach on Bolivar Peninsula, a woodland near Lake Sam Rayburn, where his family owned a cabin, or a beach in Jefferson County. Hmm. Yeah. So then some of the instances, too, he would also have the victims either call or write to their parents for their absences. That way their parents weren't scared of their safety and think like, oh, they're just here. Oh, they're just doing this, blah, blah, blah. And then he would also keep keepsakes, and normally they would be keys from his victims. So he had a lot going on. But he seemed like he had a plan, right? Like he was like,
yeah, for sure.
I've got four places I'm going to bury them. I've got the way that I'm going to do it. Two ways I'll kill them. Here's all the people I'll kill. And that's that. So from someone that went from not killing to killing, he sure, it seemed like he thought about it for a while.
Maybe that's why it took him so long.
Maybe. when he would kill these people, he would change addresses a lot until he moved to Pasadena in 73 so he could be closer to Houston Heights, but he always lived in or around Houston Heights, so he didn't have to travel far when he was abducting his victims. Isn't that fucking crazy?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Huh? Ain't there a movie about this?
I don't know. Does this sound familiar?
Just the Candyman part. Didn't we see like some...
I'm telling you.
Damn streaming services. There was something called the Candyman, wasn't there?
Let's see. There was a film called Freak Out. Loosely inspired by. There was a couple things on a TV, but there wasn't. No, I don't know what you're talking about.
I guess I don't either.
I guess I don't either.
I could have swore we just seen something called the Candyman, or a picture of a movie, maybe a documentary or something. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know. I guess I'm drunk.
All that water or Diet Coke, whatever you're drinking.
Actually, I don't have anything. I'm parched.
Oh. His first known victim was an 18-year-old college freshman named Jeff, and he vanished while hitchhiking. And they said that Dean likely offered him a ride home, and then, of course, that went south. Right?
Yeah.
I would never hitchhike. I don't care what year it is.
No, I won't.
In the 70s or now, I would never hitchhike.
Actually, if I gotta walk, I ain't going nowhere.
Yeah. Like, it's not that important, right?
Get a damn bicycle or some roller skates.
Give me some roller skates. Then he killed two 14-year-old boys named James and Danny, and he took them away from a religious rally. So he just stole them right from, like, a church camp. Hmm. He's like, you know what? You don't want to be here. Come with me. It'll be way more fun. So, in the 70s, he killed Jeffrey, James, and Daniel. So, Jeffrey was 18. James and Danny were 14. 1971, he killed Donald Waldrop, who was 15. Jerry Waldrop, who was 13. Randall Harvey, who was 15. David Hillegeist, who was 13. Gregory Winkle, who was 16, and Ruford Watson Haney, who was 17. In 72, he killed Frank Aguirre, who was 18, Mark Scott, who was 17, Johnny Ray Delamy, who was 16, Billy Balk Jr., who was 17, Stephen Sickman, who was 17, Roy Button, who was 19. Wally Simoneau, I'm going to assume, who was 14. Richard Edward Hembry, 13. William Branch Jr., 18. Richard Kepner, 19. And in 1973, he killed Joseph Lyles, who was 17. William Lawrence, who was 15. Raymond Blackburn, who was 20. Homer Lewis Garcia, who was 15. John Sellers, who was 17. Michael Balk, who was 15. And he was the younger brother of a guy he had killed the year before. Marty Jones, who was 18. Charles Cobble, who was 17. And James Dramala, who was 13. So he killed all these people in 3 years.
That's a lot.
That's a fucking lot. And then, like I said, he would put them in one of four places. The two places on the beach, the cabin place, or the boat shed. Mm-hmm. The boat shed seems odd to me. Like, that's an odd place to... Right?
Yeah. I probably wouldn't bury a body in a boat shed.
Because to me, when I picture a boat shed, like, it's... Isn't it like one of those things you could, like, drive your boat up into? So where would you bury a body?
That's not a shed. That's a dock.
I'm thinking like the ones with like the shed around it.
Yeah, but it's still a shed around it. There's ground.
Yeah. I don't know.
There's still ground for digging.
Still ground for digging. So Wayne or Elmer Wayne Henley, who was the other guy that was helping lure the people with David. He was actually going to be a victim of Dean, but then he decided that he would make a good accomplice, and he offered him the same fee that David got, which was $200 for any boy he could lure to his apartment, and that he was involved in a white slavery ring.
Weird.
Yeah. He said, Elmer said for several months that he ignored the offer. Like, he was like, I don't really want to do that. That doesn't sound like something I want to do.
But I'll go get a job.
I'll just, I don't want to do this. This doesn't sound like something I want to do. So, he, like I said, he was going to be a victim, and him and Dean picked up a boy on a corner, and they took him back, and they were all smoking pot, and Henley cuffed his hands behind his back and freed himself with the key in the back pocket, and then put the other kid into the handcuffs, and then he was like, oh, I guess I'll do it. This is easy. Isn't that fucking crazy?
Yeah.
Like, he's like, I don't want to do this, and then he's like, eh. Okay. Talk me into it. $200 for a boy? Talk me into it. Like, what the fuck? I'd be like, how about no?
Yeah, he's just as pathetic.
Like, I don't want to do this anymore, please. Sorry. So he didn't kill anybody for a few months in February to June of 73. So that's good. But then, of course, it picked up again in July. And, that's when he met like one of the first guys that he began killing again when he was attending driving school. Because apparently this guy just did fucking everything. He's like, oh, I'll sell candy. I'll join the army. I'll go back to selling candy. I'll do electricity. And then I'm going to go to coach's driving school. What else? What's next?
Murdering.
Well, he's murdering and doing all this. So he had how did he have enough time to kill if he's doing all this other shit?
It sounded like he took his time if it would take 2 or 3 days at a time.
That's true, yeah. So in July of 73, David married his pregnant fiance. So Elmer was the only sole procurer of victims. And I guess maybe that's another reason he slowed down too. Because David had to go off and knock a lady up and get married. What was he thinking? Fucking selfish.
Yeah, no kidding.
Way to go, David. So Let's see. So his last victim was on August 7th of 73. And they invited a 19-year-old boy named Timothy Curley to attend a party at Dean's house, of course. It's always like shit like that. Come over and we'll get drunk. Come over and we'll smoke pot. I'd be like, I don't want to do that. I'll go to my friend's house, you fucking weirdo. I'll go to my friend's house, you grandpa. I don't want to hang out with you. And so there was another guy, they accepted the offer, and David wasn't present here. It was just Elmer. And so Elmer and Timothy showed up at Dean's house, where they sniffed paint fumes and drank alcohol until midnight.
That's a lot of paint fumes.
No shit. And then they were like, we'll be back. And so Elmer and Timothy drove back to Houston Heights, and Timothy parked his vehicle close to Elmer's home. They exited the vehicle, and they found someone named, a little girl named Rhonda Williams, walking towards her home. And she had been beaten by her father, and she was going to join and come over and hang out with the boys sniffing paint fumes at Dean's house. So they're like, well, she's been beat up. Maybe she'll want to come over and sniff paint fumes too at 15 with two boys and a grown man. Doesn't that sound like fun?
Nope.
Do you want to sniff paint fumes after we get done with our podcast?
No. Paint don't even smell that good.
I don't think I want to do that. So at 3 a.m., they get back to Dean's house, and Dean was pissed because he was like, who's this little girl? You ruined everything. Blah, 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 blah. And they're like, oh my God, like, she got beat up by her dad and she didn't want to go home. And he also tried to offer them beer and marijuana. He was like, well, I guess if you're going to stay, you should at least drink and get high. And so they were like, okay. And then they also sniffed paint fumes while Dean just sat there and watched him until 2 hours later when they passed out.
That's a world-class creep.
So then Elmer woke up with handcuffs on. His mouth had been taped shut and his ankles had been bound together. And the others were laying next to him, bound with rope and gagged with tape and lying face down on the floor. So, you couldn't be an accomplice no mo. No more accomplice for you, Elmer. It's your time to shine, I guess. Yep. So,
be on the business end of this
thing. Yeah. He was like, you were going to be my first victim. Now you're going to be one of my last. So, he saw that he had woke up. And he took the gag off his mouth. And he said, I'm going to kill you all. But first, I'm going to have my fun. So then he kicked him in the chest, lifted Elmer to his feet, dragging him into the kitchen, and placing a pistol against his stomach, threatening to shoot him. And he was like, listen, if you don't kill me, I'll help you do whatever you want. You know, I've been a good worker for you, I guess. You know, let's do this together. I don't know. And finally, Dean was like, okay, and so untied him. To me, if I was a killer, I wouldn't let the person I was going to kill talk me into doing something, because that just seems like a trap, right?
Yeah. As soon as you let me go, I'm going to kill you.
Exactly. So, they took the other two into the bedroom, tied them to opposite sides of the torture board, Timothy on his stomach and Rhonda on her back. He handed Elmer a hunting knife and ordered him to cut away Timothy's clothes, that he would rape and kill him, and then Henley would do the same thing to the girl. So Henley began cutting away the clothes. Elmer. There's too many names. Elmer began cutting away the clothes, and Timothy had started to wake up at this point, and they removed the gags, and Rhonda asked, is this for real? And he said, yes. And Timothy Williams asked Elmer, are you going to do anything about it? So at least he's got, like, the balls to be like, What the fuck?
Yeah.
So he was like, let me take, Elmer was like, let me take her to another room. And he was like, you've gone far enough. I don't think so. So then Dean ignored him. He was like, well, you're just going to stay in here with us. So then Elmer grabbed the gun, finally. And he was like, I can't take it anymore. I can't go on any longer. I'm going to have to kill you because you've killed all my friends. And you're going to kill these friends too. And he was like, kill me then, bitch. And so Elmer stepped back and Coral was like, you won't do it, you won't do it. And then Elmer shot at Dean and hit him in the forehead. It failed to penetrate his skull, and he continued to lurch toward Elmer, where he fired two more rounds in the shoulder, his left shoulder. Dean ran out of the room into the hallway. Elmer fired three more bullets into his lower back and shoulder, and he died where he fell. After, what, 2, 4, 5, or 6 shots? Could you imagine somebody shooting you in the head and it doesn't fucking penetrate your skull?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a little 22. It's not meant for murder, so.
close range. Yeah. So, he freed the people from the torture board, and they were like, we're gonna call the police. And so, they called the police, and they were like, you gotta come over here right now. I just killed a man. And they're like, oh my god, okay, what the fuck? And basically they came over, and he was like, I don't care what's going on. I have to tell everything that I know. I have to tell everything that. So he told them everything. And then Elmer later said that, or Timothy later said that if you told the cops that Elmer told him, oh my God, what a sentence. Timothy said Elmer told him that if you weren't my friend, I could have gotten $200 for you.
Damn.
Yeah. So basically, he only saved them because they were friends. If he wasn't, he would have just, like, let him continue killing.
Yeah.
Isn't that fucking crazy? If you weren't my friend, I would have made $200. Apparently. Like, what the fuck? I would have been like, you need to go to jail too, you son of a bitch.
Let me see that gun real quick.
Yeah. Let me look at it. So, basically, later they had to give statements or whatever. Elmer was like, look, I did this for like 3 years. My friend David helped me. He was like, but then, you know, we got $200 for each time. So, what can you do? Like, what the fuck? I guess they're like, listen, man, I was making good money bringing people to his house. So what do you want? So then they like went to his house and like found all of his shit, the torture board, knives, plastic, porn, dildos, rope, handcuffs, basically everything you could find. So then they started to search for the victims, and they found some of them. They found most of them. And, but they suspect that he killed more than 28.
That's a lot of murdering.
In what did I say, 3 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a long ass time. So Elmer obviously went to trial. The jury deliberated for 92 minutes before, finding him guilty. He was guilty of 6 murders that they decided on. And he got a retrial, and they said that the second trial, the jury deliberated for 2 hours and said that he was convicted of the 6 murders and sentenced to 6 concurrent 99-year terms. So they were like, you can try this trial again, but you're still going to fucking jail.
That's so stupid that they do that. Just put him down.
Put him down. So David went to trial on February 27th of 75, and he was only there for 4 murders. And his trial lasted less than a week. The jury deliberated for 90 minutes, and they found him guilty of 1 murder and sentenced him to life in prison. So basically, they both went to prison for life. Elmer is serving his life sentence at Mark W. Michael Unit Institute in Texas, and Brooks served his sentence at Terrell Unit in Texas, but he died of COVID in 2020.
Oh no.
He was 65. Oh no. So yeah. There's like way more fucking information about this, but this podcast would be 6,000 years long if we did everything. So we're not going to do that. But his home went up for sale. Was it last this year?
Hard pass on that.
His home went up for sale for $185,000.
Well, maybe it's a nice house. Why'd you say it like that?
I mean, it is a nice looking house. Because that's a lot of fucking money.
Well, it's about what a house costs.
About what a house costs. I don't know if anybody bought it. It's
some pervert out there is going to buy it.
It's been refurbished. It's a 1,231 square foot home. And it's been refurbished, of course, into a modern home. Fresh paint, new countertops, big backyard, three bedrooms that feature the same light gray hue, and one full bath that has black and white countertops and just to match the cabinets in the kitchen.
You can do modern murdering.
You can do modern murdering in your modern house. So, that's the story of the Candyman.
Well, he's a real creep.
So, yeah, that was the Candyman. The Pied Piper, if you will.
Who can take a sunrise?
Sprinkle it with glee or however. I still can't remember how it goes, even though I looked the words up a couple weeks ago. The Candyman. So yeah, the end. I'm done. It's Eric's turn.
Still think there's something about him, like a movie.
Because it's basically like John Wayne Gacy.
No, John Wayne Gacy is a giant.
Did the exact same shit, except he was a clown.
They're both giant lady parts. I just where I seen something. Like, we were going through one of the streaming services, and there was something about a Candyman.
There's a new Candyman movie, like the original Candyman.
Oh, the picture was like maybe it was an ice cream truck. Now that I think about it.
That's that the 90s one on Shudder. Yeah. That looked horrible. I can't remember what that's it was called.
That's probably what I'm thinking
of. Yeah, that's not it. It's a movie.
Because the picture was like the ice cream truck and a kid standing by.
Yeah.
It.
Never mind. It's on Shudder.
I'm wrong, okay? Never mind. First time for everything.
Yeah, whatever. So, do your job, bruh.
All right. Well, I guess it's time for some shout outs. Big time major shout outs. I'm not going to do the movie voice because my throat's sore.
Next week.
Maybe next week. It will return.
Oh, God.
Let's give a shout out to Derek and to Trevor and Josh and Brianna and Rochelle.
Woo! Big time major shout outs.
Big time shout outs.
Big time shout outs.
Big time.
Big time. Big time shout out. What is that, Borat?
I don't think that's anything.
And now we're going to put on comfy clothes and get comfortable and watch The Blackwell Ghost 6.
Yep.
I'm ready. Huh?
I'm ready. I got to take a shower.
Oh, well, Eric's going to take a shower and then we're going to do that. So, yeah, thanks for listening as usual. We hope you enjoyed, and we'll see you next week.
That's not what you say.
I'm not done. I thought you were going to say bye.
Oh, bye.
Oh, we'll scare you later. Bye.